Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of It's a Don Deal. I'm your host, Headmaster Don. Perhaps you've heard of me. And joining me tonight is the illustrious cast of Radio Free Cybertron. I'd like to start off talking tonight. Well, one, this is going to be a no live call show due to equipment issues and things going on.
Oh, no, the equipment's fine. It's just Brian's fault.
I was trying to be subtle and not really go that route, but
that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. So we're not taking calls tonight, so I apologize, everybody. But just if you have save up your calls, and we'll do that for a later show, because there's always going to be need for content when there's so much going on in the world of Transformers. You know, it's ever changing, as we know. Starting off, I'm going to start off tonight talking about what's been everybody's mind lately here: the Takara pricing of Beast Wars Megatron. This has been on my mind a lot, not just because I'm cheap, there is that, but also the fact that I am sincerely afraid that this could be the start of a escalating price in which a lot of people are priced out of being able to afford these figures. Now, in the past, we've talked about this on Radio Free Cybertron. Chris has even brought up a lot of really good points about how they're trying to keep the price down with the lack of repaints available compared to, say, a lot of your Autobot characters, a lot of the other regular Masterpiece as well. And they're all exceptional points. I totally agree with all of them. But I still think there's a danger that when you have a figure with, again, I'm going by the U.S. retailer price of about $330. There are ways to get it cheaper through TF Radio with our Amazon link to Amazon Japan and everything else. But let's just use the American base of $330, because that's what most people may be doing instead of using a foreign currency issue. That's going to put it out of a lot of people's reach. Unless either you sacrifice a lot of mainline product, or if you're a third-party collector, you decide and you have to scale back on what you buy. It's just the fact that I'm afraid with us, this is basically entering your bottom level Hot Toys. And if you're not familiar, Hot Toys makes a lot of really great 1/6 scale figures. Iron Man, Captain America, a lot of Avengers, a lot of DC, a lot of Marvel, a lot of characters. High quality, lots of accessories, but you're paying $300 plus for them. And now that's what our Masterpieces are looking at, breaking this $300 price point with Megatron. We were all hoping he'd be less than $300, because even though he is bigger, there is a simplified engineering compared to the transformation magic that, you know, Dinobot has to achieve. But again, his character model in the show is basically 90% magic, and the rest is prayer and spit. So, you know, but he did break the $300 price point in the, you know, domestic U.S. release, and that worries me. Because if people can't jump on board with this, Takara might say, okay, we didn't sell as much, we won't produce as much as the next one. Well, if it's around the same price, you're going to have those same people saying, I like it, but I can't afford it, and they're not going to be able to buy it, and you sell less. And so you've got this downward spiral of them making great product, and they may be cutting every corner they can to the point to still give you this product at the best cost they can, but it still just may be out of people's reach. So I'm hoping these higher price points will be a lot more infrequent, because I think what's happening with a lot of people is you've got Dinobot, and then boom, you've got Megatron, especially if you're a main Beast Wars collector. And, you know, if that's your jam, I'm all for it. I really am. But that's two heavy hits back to back as far as the Beast Wars go. I believe it might have been Jason that when it came up on There Goes Our Money, I think it might have been Jason that mentioned maybe if there was a smaller release in between to sort of help buffer, you know, the two big ones back to back, to give people time, you know, a chance to recover their wallets and, you know, make other arrangements. Again, if it wasn't you, Jason, I apologize, but I thought it was you. So, you know, I hope this is going to be a more infrequent thing without these two back to back. I hope that we'll be able to see more Beast Wars, maybe some smaller characters like Pterosaur, Rat Trap. You know, they may not do Rat Trap because of the Generations figure, but there's always that. So hopefully when we get more Beast Wars characters, it'll be these $300 plus wallet breakers will be a lot more infrequent than these two back to back. So there, that's my view on that. You know, I think it's possible if you want that Megatron, you can get it. You can check other places, especially, you know, again, using TF Radio link to Amazon Japan. It's looking like some of us, we talked about this on this week's RFC, how Cyberverse is really not hitting the strides for a lot of us. So there's some money saving there if you're not going to be following the Cyberverse as a replacement for the Robots in Disguise level of figures. So, you know, it can be done. It's just, I don't want to see too many of these huge releases back to back and people can't buy them, because that could have some ill forebodings down the road. All right, Jason, what do we have on up next?
Well, next, I think we're going to go into the buy-or-sell segment. We have one from the chat earlier, Rodman Supreme. And for that, I will throw to John DeLuna to go through buy or sell with you.
Oh, hey, before I get into the segment, Don, how are you doing today?
I am doing pretty well.
I want to check on you. How's Don? How are the energy levels?
Better since I started this new position at work. Ooh. It's a lot less stressful, a lot less worrisome. So yeah, doing good. I'm in my happy place.
Okay. I love it. Okay. So I'm going to go, in no particular order. G1 reissues at Walmart. What do you think? Buy or sell?
I'm going to have to put sell because...
Oh.
Well, it's just the fact that it's who they're doing. And other than the Devastator gift set, which would be nice to have just as a display piece, because mm-hmm. that box art is such a classic. And we've all either looked at, or most of us have, the art of the G1 boxes. And we all have admitted how beautiful this artwork is on these original boxes. So, and the Devastator box itself is kind of like, it was the first gift set that we ever got.
Sure.
First figure of that size till Omega came out being a slightly bigger figure.
All 10 inches of him or whatever. Yeah.
So, you know, I think from a pure, I don't want to use the term decorator, but I'm blanking on for an aesthetic thing. I think the Devastator set would be nice to get, although most of these things you can get probably cheaper than what we're seeing, or, you know, at the very least, you'll be able to look around longer than saying, okay, they're going to hit Walmart and sell out. These are not, you know, this is not them saying, hey, let's send Galaxy Shuttle to Walmart. You know, let's send Minerva to Walmart. You know, hey, have a Grandis Walmart on that bottom shelf where he's taking up the size of Thor's hammer, you know.
Okay, what if they did Grandis, but they did a special deco and made Grandis just be a transforming Walmart store? Buy or sell?
Buy. that would be a buy. But, I mean, I like the reissues. They're good characters, but it's nothing really groundbreaking and nothing we haven't seen before or could get an almost equivalent thing for probably less than what we're seeing these retail prices at. Other than Devastator, and that's all for just, I've always wanted a G1 Devastator and a gift set, that kind of mentality, to put on the shelf and look at it and go, that's awesome.
I think you kind of half answered this. I do have a follow-up for my own buy or sell Hot Rod being in this mix. Does Hot Rod deserve to be like on the Mount Rushmore of retro Transformers? What's up with that? Why?
I think it's because he looks cool. He's a cool, weird sports car the kids may like. He has retroactively become very important in the fandom in his various incarnations. It's a smaller price point. It's a good looking art. Again, it's the G1 box art. We all love that stuff. So I can see them putting something as their more basic price point in there, especially for parents maybe that are nostalgic, but not $89 Devastator nostalgic. But they might have had a Hot Rod when they went to the movie and got one at that point or something like that. You know, my original theory was when this was announced is, when they reboot the movie universe after whatever happens after Bumblebee, they're going to move on to a basically a post movie universe, or they're going to start with Hot Rod or have Hot Rod show up in the middle of the first movie and become Rodimus Prime, and then try this new reboot using Rodimus Prime as a fresh slate, and not and just going from there. You know, maybe that's not going to happen. I doubt that will, but maybe just to get the Hot Rod name out there, so when they do something with the movie reboot and he's in there in a more traditional looking form, then maybe they'll have that. You'll have that correlation between, oh, hey, I remember seeing that toy, or I remember my niece or nephew or son or daughter bought that. So there's some correlation between what they're planning and getting this Hot Rod out there now, and just start some brand recognition with that character.
Okay. I'll move on a second. I will challenge you, Don, on his G1 box art being attractive. It's a little haunting. He's got that freaky G1, like, smooth as a baby's butt face, and the kind of, I don't know, awkward perspective with the giant hands and gun, and he looks like a nun in a red nun outfit. I don't know. He's haunting.
Here's the thing. We went through an entire almost decade of what Dreamwave with that same similar perspective, wonky perspectives, odd guns, feet that were, you know, so that's not something new.
How'd that turn out for them?
Again, I'll admit, but you know, but all the G1 box art in its own way is classic, you know, even though some may be more classic than others.
I.e. old. Let's see here. Okay. Unicron of Light. We're getting it widely available to the people who want this kind of thing. So buy or sell.
I think this is going to be a buy because, again, depending on where you can find it for a good price. Because since they're releasing this Armada mold, my theory of Studio Series using this to get a new Unicron, you know, they may do that at some point, but I don't think it's going to be as soon as I was thinking. Because I figured, if they do Jabba's Sail Barge and it was successful, what's the next biggest thing you can think of that they would use the Hasbro Lab thing for to get it made? Other than maybe, hey, we're doing a flag. You know, something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this might be, you know, the last hurrah for that Armada mold. As Matt said in this week's RFC, some of them joints just ain't holding up. So you might want to wait reviews for this, but I think it's a great looking color. If you don't have the Armada Unicron, this is a good way to get a unique color. And the mold
color
is still pretty
good. Right.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, it's as close as you're going to get to that lucky draw that we only made 10 of.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So shout outs to the
BotCon dealer that tried to sell that thing like 10 years in a row and never did. This is, I don't know, a sad day perhaps for them. Or maybe this is liberation. They're free. So you can stop trying. Let it go, man. Let it go. Jason, do you want us to keep going or what?
We can either keep going or I can throw in a question from the chat or something. What would you like to do?
Don, did you need to finish a thought there?
Oh, no. I was just going to say, depending on where you find it and how much it is, that's kind of a caveat on my buy, but I think this thing may not be around for long once it sells out. I can't imagine them making a ton of these things, you know, not compared to some of the other exclusives. So, you know, just consider that when you're looking at your prices.
Yeah. Well, as long as they don't have to issue a voluntary recall to the retailers in Japan.
Yeah, because a lot of people are still gun shy about Godfire Convoy. I'm glad I didn't get one now because of that.
Yeah, no kidding.
For sure.
Jason. Okay, sure. Question we had from Steven Eider on Twitter, who is CatMax Gaming. Should I buy MP Soundwave if I already have the recent leader class toy, which I believe would have been from Titan's Return?
Yes, I think you should.
Agreed.
But again, depending on what the price is, because especially if you can find the U.S. gift sets where you get all six cassettes. Is it six? One, two, three. Five. When you get, I was thinking Rat Bat, but he was with Sound Blaster. If you can find the American gift set that Toys R Us carried for a price that you feel comfortable. I believe you really do need the Masterpiece Soundwave on your shelf to fit with, you know, your G1 Masterpiece figures, because the Soundwave from Titans Return is nice, but the aesthetic is just not going to work on a Masterpiece shelf if having a match aesthetic is your thing. There may be a reissue at some point. I mean, they did the Linkin Park Soundwave, which was hideous, but they did do that. And it eventually went clearance for like $79 or $99 at one point. So yes, I think again, depending on the price, you should get it. If you can get the American one and not have to pay the individual cassette prices. Again, there's KOs of the Masterpiece cassettes that I've heard are good. But again, that depends on, do you want KOs on your Masterpiece shelf or not? That's a personal preference there. But yeah, I would say yes, get it, because it's so different than the Titans Return version, and it would look a lot better probably up against next to this MP36 Megatron that is so popular with everybody as well.
Now, I may be misremembering, but at the time Masterpiece Soundwave came out, weren't people saying that it was basically like the best Masterpiece that was made up to that point?
Yeah, I mean, as far as being show accurate, looking right, the way it transformed, mm-hmm. you know, that I don't remember hearing a lot of negatives other than how much the cassette. Well, yeah, the Rat Bat not being there, and also the fact that you had to buy originally with the Japanese version. The two sets of cassettes separately for about $60, give or take. That was the downside at the time, which is why I suggested the American version, because I still don't know how they wound up giving us that set for that price. That was just a one in a lifetime thing.
Yeah, the timing of that really helped that happen, I think.
Yeah, and the Rat Bat not being there, the knockoff of Rat Bat I've actually heard is very nice. So
I have it.
It's up to you if you'd want to do that.
Yeah, again, it depends on, you know, see, I've got a KO Red Alert in there because, you know, I just didn't care for that Sideswipe mold to buy it again. I liked it, but I didn't want to buy it again at the time for another $90. So I got the KO Red Alert, and it's fine on my shelf.
Okay. And we have another question here that came in from the chat earlier at tfradio.net/live every Wednesday night. Free show at 7:30, show at 8. This is from our friend Blade Raider, and this is a good one. How do you price an item to sell when you can't find any good examples to go by, such as not finding anything on eBay sold listings?
Okay. Well, I've run into this a couple of times in my selling career, and sometimes you have to look at similar things, like say it's an action figure of a cowboy, but you can't find this one. Check other similar sized cowboy figures, you know, if you see that. If it's, you know, if it's from a line that you're not familiar of, try looking maybe for a web page that might list who the character is. And, you know, like back in the day, there used to be Lee's Action Figure News and Toy Review. You know, this is going back many years. But, but they would give you a price range of what the figure was selling for at that time. It was wildly inaccurate, but at least you had some numbers at least you could go with. Usually what I do is I look at a figure and I say, okay, I'm gonna sell this figure. I can find nothing about this figure. I don't know what it is. I've checked online. Back in my day before that, I would check toy books at the library, collector's books, things like that. You're going to have to say, what do I have in this figure? What do I want to get out of it? And if I sell it, am I going to look back 3 or 4 years, 5 years down the road with it maybe going for a lot more money now and be disappointed? So you're going to have to kind of ask yourself, if I sell this, I paid $5. If I get $40, if it goes for $100 down the road, am I going to be mad at myself? Or you say, hey, you didn't know how much it was. You still made money. You got rid of something you apparently didn't want, and you can live with that. It's an individual person's question. They got to ask themselves, you know, am I going to regret selling it? You don't know, but if you can say, this 40 will get me this figure if I can sell it. And then it's like, yeah, it may go for more later, but you're going to have to say, hey, but I didn't know that. You can't hold on to everything. Trust me, I know. And so that way you just have to say, okay, I could have sold it more for later, but you would never know. So you got your money. You got what you wanted with the money. That's as good as you're ever going to get unless you develop psychic powers.
So really, I mean, you even have to decide whether, once you factor all that in, like, there's also the decision, is it even worth, maybe I should just keep it?
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's so rare because you never know what is going to be cluttering the shelves. Like we talked earlier on this show, Energon Unicrons were everywhere at Kmart. I mean, you couldn't swing a Massey without hitting one, but they were there. And now look at what they're bringing. Look at, as I brought up in the show, look at Omega Sentinel. Again, Energon figure, repaint of Omega Supreme. It was everywhere and then completely vanished within about a month or two, at least in my area. My Walmart had like 30 or 40 on the top shelf. And in about 2 weeks, they were all gone, and I never saw another one in my area again anywhere. So you don't know. There's no way of knowing what's going to be popular and what's going to be, it's going to sit on the spawn pile of worthlessness.
It's a terrible place to be, I hear. All right, and I think we'll throw back to John DeLuna for a couple more buy or sells.
Oh, Don, I want you to comment on Game of Thrones, Throne of the Primes, Optimus Primal.
I like it a lot better than Optimal Optimus. I really do. And that's not even counting all the special SDCC bells and whistles. The packaging is very nice. I love the way it's packed. I love the way it looks. But the colors on that figure, to me, that mold looks better in Optimus Primal colors than it does as Optimal Optimus.
Is that because you... Do you just not like the Optimal Optimus color scheme, or is it because the power of the Primes one isn't a good execution of it?
I think it's a little bit of both. Plus, the fact is, personally, Optimal Optimus is my least favorite of his three basic forms. It really is. And I just think that these colors mitigate a lot of the issues I have with it just not being a very cohesive looking figure in general. And the Power of the Promise being something of a lackluster figure to me. Is it worth 70? That's about 20 above retail, but you're getting, what, 3 Prime Masters in there?
Yeah,
sure.
So you got, and if you factor $5 a Prime Master, if you got those as well, you're only paying about $5 or so above retail before shipping. So
although they don't have no Pretender shells, though.
Right, oh, there's that. There is that. So... I like it. I may try to get one. It depends on what else comes out at the time. But, you know, if I don't get it, I won't be crushed. But I can see why somebody would want this as, again, a nice display piece. He's on the throne. It looks good. And in those colors, it's a better looking toy to me.
Hmm. Very good, sir. Let's see here. Last one. Rodimus Supreme. Buy or sell. Hasbro designs War for Cybertron toys so they can be remolded into Earth modes, and the entire second part of War for Cybertron's trilogy is the same toys from part one remolded to Earth modes. Jason, what is this question? Translate.
Well, basically, Rodimus Supreme is asking, all right, so when the Hasbro team designs the toys, they go, okay, so here's the Cybertron modes, but we're tooling them in a way that we can do a whole another section or, you know, whole half of, not, or a whole other, you know, run where we do them then in their Earth, with their Earth alt modes. And so basically you'd be buying the same mold twice, just with different alt modes, more or less.
Yeah. To me, that's a sell because that is going to be, it's not the exact same thing that we ran into with Power Core combiners. But it's treading the line just close enough to make me think that could leave a lot of product on the shelves because parents are not going to see the difference between, oh, you've already got that one. The kid may think, oh, no, that's from the one where he gets his steam. I just saw this on Twitter. It was one of the GoBots they had made for the show that was a steamroller. I can't remember who posted that just a few minutes ago. But it's like, let's say he was a Cybertronian steamroller. Now he's an Earth steamroller. They may be very different alt modes, but the parents will see, oh, this is the same character. You've already got that. We're not going to buy this again. And I think you're also losing some some variety. If you unless the remolding is something drastic like Generation Springer or Generation Sandstorm, unless it's something along those lines in which they're, you really just can't call them the same figure, and except that it's very skeletal core, you're going to run into a lot of, well, I've already got something like that. Do I want to spend another $15 to $20 just because his alt mode is different? Would I rather get a different character, like their own Earth, and characters show up that weren't in the first season or were in the first season and didn't get Cybertron toys because they were going to get Earth mode toys in like season two? And you'd rather have them because they're new characters to keep the collection and keep everything fresh. So I think there's a lot of danger leaving a lot of product on the shelf. I can see why you would want that, but you know, that way you get, if there's a character you really like one of my favorite Cybertron figures is Downshift. I love his muscle car mode. I love his robot mode. But if he was given a Cybertron design that was just a bunch of stuff crammed together in some geometric shape, and then it's like, I don't really want that because that's not the way he's supposed to look. He's supposed to be this muscle car. So I wouldn't buy two of those unless it was that radically different, a Springer and Sandstorm kind of thing. So I don't think they need to go that way unless they can really pull off something, you know, spectacular.
Yeah, it sounds like the idea is nice. It sounds like a good idea. The execution of it, though, would have to be like spot on perfect. And even then, I don't know if you could accomplish it.
If maybe they did that for a couple of select important characters as maybe to fill some cases. That way you weren't getting like power core combiners. You weren't getting entire cases of repaints, things such as that.
I think it had to be a situation where it's tremendously forward thinking, where it's not like, you know, this line is these characters in this form, and then the very next line is the same characters in the alternate form. I would think you'd have to think like 3, maybe 4 years down the line for the reuses, you know, and hope that your economics and stuff can still support those same molds being produced at the same price points, etc. Like, you know, have that library of stuff that has those alternates that you can pull out in these new updated bodies much, much later, when they're not something that somebody's going to look at and say, that's just last year's toy with, you know, a new hat.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for helping with that, John. Appreciate it. So here we are at the final stretch, end of the show here. We're going to talk about some money left on the table. And we have a question. This one comes from our friend, Jared Hebert. Don, are Hasbro and Takara Tomy leaving money on the table by cutting Power of the Prime short? And if that was done to start the new trilogy early, do you think it'll work in the long run?
I think the plan was there. It's like what Chris just said about execution. The plan to have a shorter run line to finish up the Power of the Primes trilogy was understandable. So that way that they wouldn't have as much product as in the previous years, and you know, compared to some other waves and other things, to give them time to focus on this new War for Cybertron that's coming up. But it's the execution that has totally blown this plan to Hades, because you can't find Jack. Wave 2 has barely showed up anywhere. There's now Wave 3 on product where places never even saw Wave 2. Every online retailer, there's pre-orders up for stuff that still hasn't been filled, or they have no idea when it's coming in, or when their distributor hasn't even got it in to send to them yet. Finding stuff in stores is just the most incredible game of Russian roulette, that you're going to walk in and either the stuff like my Target, you know, you can walk by and look at the movie stuff. Wave 1 movie stuff is literally in the same order on the hook as it's been for the last 6 or 7 months. No one is buying that product, which means there's nothing new coming out. I saw at my Target Wave 2 one time for the deluxes, and that was it. So I think what they're doing, I can understand what they did, making a shorter line, finishing it up, giving us a lot of great molds in this Power of the Primes, this last line. But it's the execution has completely botched that. And I think I think they're leaving money on the table for not understanding and having seen in the past, all this product is out there from the earlier waves. By the time wave three and wave four shows up, is anybody even going to be putting this stuff out? Is there anywhere to put it out? And it seems like they have not learned yet that when you drown the stores in wave one product, or wave and wave two in some cases, not Power of the Primes, obviously, but in general, wave three and wave four is impossible. And then you wind up going to eBay, or you go to Ross, or you go to Marshall's, or you go to some unknown Chinese guy off of a forum or something, because you don't, you could, that's all you can find. So yeah, I think they're leaving money on the table just because they did not seem to plan for this. We can't find it. It's nowhere to find. No one has it in stock. We want to give you money, but we can't because there's no product. So is it a question of the Toys R Us closure? Possibly. There could be a lot of that built in. But you still have, business still must go on. And Hasbro is still dealing with Target, Walmart, Myers, and whatever other chains there may be that buy their product. And there has to be a better distribution of the figures. You know, Hasbro working with their supply, with their retail partners to get the figures out, maybe sending in more reps. Because when I was living closer to my friend Fred, I actually ran into that. I ran into a Hasbro rep at the stores several times in many different stores. And he and I would talk for, you know, several minutes talking about product. And I would even tell him about stuff coming out that he hadn't even heard about yet. And he had on the Hasbro shirt and everything. And I was telling him, you're getting this, you're getting this, Target's getting this. And I would tell him what was coming out, and he would jot down the notes on what to look for, because he didn't even know about that before I did. But I haven't seen a rep in 10 plus years. Never saw a rep coming in anywhere that I've worked, never seen him while I've been doing toy hunts. Even going back down there, I've not seen anyone repping for Hasbro. So they might need to get out there with some more of reps through these affiliate companies and say, go to the back, find our product. If it's not there, find out what's going on so we can see to get product on the shelf. Again, it doesn't always work like that, but I'm just saying there's got to be something to get this stuff to the shelves. Otherwise, War for Cybertron will be the exact same way. We'll get to the third version of it. Wave one and wave two will be there. You can't find wave three. And it's this cycle that goes on over and over again that is just frustrating and exhausting. And it's just something that needs to stop as best as possible.
Yeah, it would be nice if they have it all figured out by the time the next line rolls out, but we will see.
Be sure to join us next week for our live stream coverage of the San Diego Comic-Con reveals. I'm sure there'll be a lot of interesting product. We'll be able to see all the stuff. We might even see, I don't know, an Omega Supreme eyelash. You never know what you're going to see.
No, they'll say that for New York.
New York.
Right.
So I guess, once again, everybody, thank you for joining us for It's a Don Deal. I was your host, Headmaster Don. Thank you to all my friends on RFC for helping me with this show, giving me guidance, suggestions, threats, you know, things such as that. I appreciate that. And tune in next week, and we'll see, you know, what's what.
Yep, and tune in at tfradio.net/live every Wednesday after the main show. RFC, we do It's a Don Deal. You can always leave a voicemail, 931-99-GOBOT, 931-994-6268.
Text messages,
thank you. Or shoot us a tweet at TF Radio. And if you'd like to support us, tfradio.net/Amazon and tfradio.net/shirts. And that'll do it. Thank you, everyone. This has been a Don Deal.
Take care, y'all.
It's a Don Deal is a Radio Free Cybertron podcast production.